issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And here we go, looking at another topic of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Lieutenant Brad O'Dell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and County Emergency Manager Emily Ring, thanks for coming in today.
Hi there.
Thanks for having us.
And we want to cover Douglas alerts today, the county's emergency alert and warning system. And I guess, first of all, kind of explain what it is.
Yeah, so Douglas Alerts is exactly that. It's our alert and warning system that we use to notify the public of events of life safety matters within Douglas County. Oftentimes, you know, people associate the use of Douglas Alerts with wildfire evacuation because that seems to be what we use it for. Most of the time where it's really in people's faces and they know about it. But we also use it for notifying the public about police activity and other events within the county.
Occasionally, it might be a missing person if there's a life safety element to that. And also, when we think about evacuations, there are other times we might need to evacuate or give a shelter in place, such as floods. Floods might use the same evacuation levels as fires. It's just not as common.
So how long ago did this begin and where did the idea come from?
So Douglas County has used technology to alert the public for a number of years. We're currently using a software called Everbridge, and that's the current platform that we're using. But again, we've been using a system similar to this for a number of years, and it really is a great way to notify the public in the event of an emergency.
And is this commonly used in other places around the U.S.?
So what's a little bit different with the platform we use now, and Douglas County just adopted it a couple of years ago, so it's fairly new, which is part of the reason we're promoting it, getting it on ahead of people's minds during evacuation season here in summer. OraAlert is the name, the concept for the platform of all of the alert and warning systems that are supported at the state level. So under an OraAlert statewide contract, counties and tribes could opt in and receive support for an Everbridge platform license. And Douglas County did that a couple of years ago. Most counties and tribes in the state of Oregon currently participate in OraAlert. Some do not. It is optional. But for us, it's been a good transition, and we're just improving it every year.
And I guess then, based on what you've said so far, you're working at the county level, but you're also working with law enforcement with other jurisdictions, right?
That's correct. So this platform it's a county asset. However, we work with our partners in emergency services to make this available to them through the 911 center or through Emily or I.
So is this sort of tied to like when you would do a reverse 911? Is that part of that or is it different?
No, so this is essentially reverse 911. This is what people refer to as reverse 911. And so the way that it works is when we get information that needs to be communicated to the public, we craft a message, and that message then is distributed from this software to the users in the community. And that can be through a number of ways, one of which is through landline telephones. Landlines are automatically signed up.
You might have to explain landlines to some people.
Yeah,
sure.
Not as common as they used to be.
So landlines are those phones that are in homes that are connected to the wall. The telephone that you pick up and you hear a dial tone and begin to dial the message. So those are landlines. Those landlines are automatically enrolled in the alerting software. The key is there are a number of people within our community, myself included, who rely on a cell phone for our form of communication. And those phones are not automatically enrolled. You have to sign up to receive those messages. So when you sign up for an account, you can actually request to receive those alerts through phone call, text messages, email, Emily, what else am I missing? There's a number of ways.
SMS, which is the variety of text, your mobile app, if you wish. And so you can identify up to 5 locations of interest. Everbridge, and we refer to it, our local version here, Douglas Alerts, is great because we can alert just a singular home, a singular neighborhood, or if necessary, the entire county. So there's a mapping component to it that we use. With Incident Command, we identify locations. If your area of interest that's associated with your contact methods falls within that polygon that we draw, then you will get the notification. So that's why sometimes people will say, hey, how come my neighbor across the street got it and I didn't? It may be as simple as you were not in the immediate impact zone that was identified for that initial alert. And all of those questions we can always help answer for folks.
And if you get a call, then are you hearing a recorded voice, or how does that work?
You can. So it depends on how the message is sent, but most of the time it is a recorded or automated voice. So it can be mistaken as a spam call. We preface the message with this is an official message. And so we do encourage people to listen to that entire message because it is not a spam call. But it can easily be mistaken that way.
If time allows, we do try to use our real voices and do voice recordings real time and push it out so it is not an automated voice, because we know sometimes people hate automated voices. But if time is of the essence or it's not, Lieutenant O'Dell or myself, and maybe it's someone in dispatch pushing it out quickly in between 911 calls, it could be automated. So we know that many devices have a spam filter feature. If you've never received an alert before and you don't recognize the text number or phone call number coming in, your device filter may say, hey, this might be a potential spam, and that can throw people. What we recommend you do is just like you would rename a new phone number of a new friend that you got, or a family member got a new phone number, you can rename it in your phone. Hey, that text that I received, that phone number, is actually Douglas Alerts. And then the next time, your device will rename it for you as Douglas Alerts. So that's a helpful tip as well.
Yeah.
And I would think maybe in some specific situations, I mean, if you've got a law enforcement situation, maybe somebody in your neighborhood is a danger, or there's, one of those kind of situations, that finding this out quickly is kind of the essence.
I think that it's important for people to be able to know what's happening within their community in a quick manner, especially as it relates to emergencies or police activity or any type of action that we're asking people to take, whether that's evacuation or sheltering in place. Making sure that you're signed up to receive these alerts is really important. And not only should you sign up, but it's helpful if you encourage your friends and family to do the same.
We tell folks, if you have multiple people living in your household that have multiple devices, each of them really ideally should register. That it does not take very long. I know that might sound like a lot, 5 minutes per person. But what is helpful about that is if we're in a shared household and only I receive the alert, it's my responsibility then to tell you, who is also living in my household, because you wouldn't have gotten it. If we're in separate locations or we're having communication issues, it's better if we have both received the same alert for that same location. It just cuts down on that person's responsibility to chain it down. But of course, that's your household decision.
And I decided about 5:30 or 6 this morning, I was working on some of my prep, and I thought, well, how long can this take? I don't have a lot of time here, but let's see if I can get through it. And I don't know, 5-10 minutes tops. And then I've since thought of something I should go back in and add another location to. But all that seems pretty simple. You've just got to remember to save your username and password, which is like the common issue for everybody these days, and the big long list of passwords that we all have.
Yes, I know. The benefit of having the account under your control is if you ever move, if you ever change your phone number, your address, any of those things, you can go ahead and change those yourself at any moment. If you have us do it on your behalf, which we're happy to do, you have to remember to tell us that you moved, or tell us that you have a different phone number, and we can edit it on your behalf. I just want to take a quick moment, if it's all right, to let folks know we do utilize this system, but the sheriff's office is very specific about when they utilize it, as are other partners and jurisdictions who may ask for it for one of their incidents. It may not always come at the beginning of an incident. For example, if we have a hazmat scene that seems to be small, and then the incident commander goes on scene and it looks like it's expanding and there might be a need for additional information, they might at that point call for an alert or warning. So it is situationally based, and we make those calls with our law enforcement partners together. And in addition to that, sometimes the law enforcement partners, like the sheriff's office, will also utilize other tools as a companion to Douglas alerts, such as door-to-door notifications.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more about it on Inside Douglas County. County Emergency Manager Emily Ring, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell of the sheriff's office, back in a moment on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at One True Wealth Radio at 4. Tomorrow, we give you an update on Sunrise Enterprises. Meet the new interim executive director, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and County Emergency Manager Emily Ring in here talking about Douglas alerts. And Brad, you wanted to touch on one particular aspect of that.
Yeah, so you had mentioned that you had forgotten to add an address, and Emily expanded on the importance of being able to control your profile. I think it's really important for people in the community to understand that they may have signed up several years ago for an account, but sometimes we change our phone numbers and sometimes we move, and so now we have a new address, and you may be operating under the assumption that you're signed up and you're receiving these alerts, when in reality maybe it's associated with the wrong address, or you're at a different place of employment, or you've changed schools. And so that's why we're really asking people to do these wellness checks on their account. Make sure that everything looks good, that you're receiving the alerts to the proper locations, and making sure that the addresses are current for you.
Well, because if you used to live in Yoncalla and you moved to Myrtle Creek and there's something happening in Yoncalla, you may not need to know about it.
That's correct.
You know, or if something's happening where you are now, you're not going to get a notification because the system doesn't know you moved.
That's right.
And I grew up in the era where if we handled an incident and nobody knew about it, but those who had been in the incident, that was a good day and we felt good about that. That's probably not really how expectations are these days. But in terms of how Douglas Alerts is used, we try to be as precise as possible. And the focus is trying to contact those folks who are in the most immediate impact path. And then others can find out after.
Well, and how does this get used with weather situations? Do those apply at all?
Yes, they do. We kind of emphasize that life safety element. We're very leery of having people get fatigued about receiving alerts. So Sheriff's Office is very thoughtful about it. And sometimes we have talked about weather issues in the past. Severe ice storm, does that merit it? Usually we would use it something along like a life-threatening windstorm. We've got hurricane force scales, a once-in-a-lifetime sort of event, or we have landslides potentially, or we have flooding predicted or occurring. Those are the sorts of weather-related events that we would utilize this system for. Not so much kind of like, hey, snow is coming. It has to be kind of a life-threatening, concerning amount.
Right, and things like that are probably what those of us on the radio might be used for.
Yeah. You're a great source for all that kind of information.
And how does all this system work behind the scenes? Are you essentially just working with the vendor that has the app?
Well, behind the scenes, it's occurring in either the dispatch center or live from one of our devices at a field camp or wherever we're at. So there's either Lieutenant O'Dell, myself, or some other folks within the dispatch center are the alert senders for the county. So we are utilizing that. The vendor who has the platform is there for technical support. They provide the software and so forth, but they're not involved in our local system at all.
So if you're somewhere in the county, something's going on, and some of this stuff is pretty fast moving too. I mean, it's especially in the potentially violent criminal type situations, you don't have time to, you've got to do it now. So you could be out in a vehicle out on the road somewhere and then trigger it?
That's correct. So I, Emily or I or the dispatchers have the ability to send these notifications remotely if needed. There's been plenty of times that I've sent notifications from fire camp or from another location, but that's the handiness of this tool. Again, it works as well as people are signed up.
There are other ways that we can use to reach folks without them being in this system. But if you yourself have opted yourself in with your preferred locations, your preferred contact information, that's the most efficient and most reliable method for us. Then we know you have told us, hey, this is how I want to be contacted. This is the text number I want you to use. These are the locations I'm concerned about. That's much more efficient and better than me trying to pull some yellow white page data from 5 years ago. Right. So that's why we encourage participation. And then we know that we have a more reliable data set because you all have helped inform that data set.
Now, how does it work that you said landline numbers are included automatically?
So the vendor that we have works with the utility company, and the utility company essentially provides them with this data. And so that information is uploaded into the system, I believe on a quarterly basis.
Correct.
And so that information is updated as people get landlines on a quarterly basis. If you got a landline phone number today, it may not automatically be enrolled until the next time that data is uploaded. Again, another really good reason to sign up for those alerts. And it's very simple to do. You can access the sign-up page on our website at dcso.com/alerts. You can call us if you don't have internet access at home. We're happy to do manual registrations. We just want to try to help as many people as we can get signed up so that they're informed.
And I know that we're talking mostly households and individuals, but this does apply in the same way for businesses. And businesses can receive a little bit of different attention because you might have many extensions and so forth. But if your business is involved in a selected polygon incident impact area, that those numbers will be contacted as well. Mm-hmm. If you do not have a primary physical location that you're at every day or every night, then you are welcome to opt in with a cell phone or text number with areas that you frequent or that are of interest, like your parents' home or whatever that is. So available to anybody.
And if people want to ask questions about this, is there a phone number they can call?
There is. You can dial us at 541-440-6025. That's a good phone number to reach Emily or someone in the emergency management department that can help you. Again, information's on our website. If you go to dcso.com/alerts, there's a lot of information there, as well as our wellness check that has a lot of really good suggestions on how to make sure that your profile is up to date. And then if I could for just a moment.
Actually, we're out of time, so you can.
Aww. Okay.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.